Welcome to another Paul Hastings podcast. I'm here today with Ben Dyneem, co-chair of our privacy and data security practice and chair of our advertising and promotions practice. And we're going to be talking about employers, employees, and social media. Welcome, Ben.
Thanks, Melanie. It's great to be here.
So tell us, what is one interesting issue involving social media of which you think businesses should be aware?
Well, one issue that is of particular interest recently has been the question of an employer's right to access or to demand access to employees and job applicants' personal social media accounts. And that the issue has arisen recently because of news reports of attempts by employers to have access to those accounts. The first reported attempt actually was a couple of years back where a municipality in Idaho decided that all job applicants for city jobs would need to provide their passwords to their personal social media. The city quickly withdrew that request in the face of widespread ridicule. But more recently, late last year, a few other incidents surfaced, in particular an incident involving the Maryland Correctional Authorities, who required job applicants for prison guard positions to do the same. And the rationale that was offered at the time was that access was necessary so that the prison authorities could determine whether the job applicants had gang affiliations. So these kinds of incidents really raised the profile of the issue and generated quite a bit of backlash in connection with those kinds of requests.
Hmm. Now, is that lawful?
Well, that's a great question. The primary statute that up until recently governed the question of privacy of electronic communications was the Electronic Communications Privacy Act, which was enacted back in 1986. In an age of dial-up connections and closed networks, rudimentary electronic bulletin boards and things of that nature, well before anyone had thought about social media. And the ECPA really isn't equipped to deal with these questions. And in fact, it really only addresses the issue of compelling the provider's ability to disclose communications, not the subscriber directly. And so as a result, there really was no law that addressed the issue. And in reaction to these reported incidents, as a result, several states introduced legislation to prevent the issue, to prevent those types of requests. Six states passed laws all late last year. And there were bills introduced in Congress as well that were designed to address the issue, and those, not surprisingly, given that we're talking about Congress, did not really make any progress. But we do today have six states that have passed laws. Some of those states not only prohibit employer access, they also prohibit universities from requiring students to provide access as well. And the reason that that came up was that there were reports that some university athletic programs were requiring scholarship athletes to friend or otherwise provide access to their personal social media accounts to monitors who were, supposed to monitor those athletes' activities to ensure they did not violate NCAA rules. So in any event, six states have passed laws, and this year more are considering them.
Very interesting. So do those laws provide a clear set of rules for how to deal with employees' personal social media?
Well, in some respects, they provide too clear a set of rules. And what I mean by that is when these laws, these bills were introduced and their sponsors advocated for their speedy passage, they were identified as silver bullets to a very discrete problem. The perceived problem was employer invasions of individuals' privacy rights in social media accounts. And the silver bullet solution was just to flatly prohibit that kind of access. And the problem with those approaches, what I call bullet bills because they're designed as silver bullets, is that they really don't recognize the very different considerations that arise in the context of social media when you're talking about privacy. So, for example, what does private really mean in the context of social media? If I have 10,000 Twitter followers, are my tweets really private? If I have 1,000 Facebook friends, are my posts on my Facebook wall really private? They certainly aren't in the same sense that we think about one-to-one email communications. And as a result, perhaps there might be different considerations in play. In addition to that, the laws make no exceptions for military or law enforcement or other kinds of job classifications. And in fact, in the world today, a bus driver is subjected to, in many cases, alcohol or drug screening. Other job categories might be subjected to polygraphs, all of which I would submit are far more intrusive than access to personal social media, yet those things, in some circumstances involving public safety or health or national security, are permitted, and these bills really make no exceptions for any of those things.
Are there other sources of guidance for how employers regulate or approach the issue?
Well, yes, there are. Firstly, let me say that, you know, none of what I just said about some of the deficiencies in the state laws that have addressed this issue and the other pending bills that are looking to address the issue should be read to indicate that I think it's a good idea for employers, as a matter of course, to ask for this kind of access. There are a variety of reasons why an employer should not ask for this kind of access. Looking at an employee's or a job applicant's personal social media accounts might reveal things about that, for example, job applicant, that could end up causing the employer to be at a greater risk for exposure if, for example, let's say the employer doesn't offer the job applicant a job. So, for example, again, a job applicant might apply for a position. It might not be evident that the job applicant is a member of a protected class, but if the employer then asks for access to the social media account and learns that the job applicant is a member of a protected class, national origin or disability or anything like that, and then does not offer the job for other reasons, that could expose the employer to liability. In addition, so there are generally applicable laws out there that would counsel against engaging in this sort of activity. In addition, in terms of regulating employees' access to social media, there are some serious constraints on what an employer can do. The National Labor Relations Board has issued guidance on three separate occasions, most recently in May of last year, in which it opines on the permissibility of employers' social media policies. The idea is sweeping prohibitions in those policies could infringe on employees' rights to engage in concerted activity, which is protected. And so there's that source of guidance in terms of what employers can do with existing employees as well.
So how can an employer navigate those requirements in creating an enforceable and yet protective social media policy?
Well, I think it's important to look very closely what the NLRB has said you can and cannot do, and what they particularly find objectionable are sweeping prohibitions that could be construed to infringe upon, as I said, that right to engage in concerted activity. So in designing a social media policy for employees, employers should be very careful to clearly and specifically exclude from any limitations protected activity and to make clear that what is prohibited are things that don't relate to comments on the terms and conditions of employment. So, for example, you can prohibit posts or comments that reasonably might be attributed to the employer or require disclaimers to make clear that they're not. You can prohibit discriminatory, harassing, or similar posts, but be specific and use examples. Being specific and using examples is key to avoiding an unenforceable policy.
Thank you very much, Ben. This has been very insightful, and we look forward to a future update from you as the social media laws evolve.